The following is a class by His Holiness Rompada Swami, the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 1st Chapter, verse 23, given on December the 5th, 2005, in St. Louis, Missouri.
Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda ki Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Samira Bhaktivarinda ki Nitai Go Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhuri Yogeshwari Krishne. Brahmanye Dharma Varmani. Svam kastam adhuno pete, dharmakam sharanam gataha, brohi yogeshwari krishne, brahmanye dharma varmani, svam kastam adhuno pete, dharmakam sharanam gataha brohi. Please tell Yogeshwari, the Lord of all mystic powers, Krishne, Lord Krishna, Brahmanye, the absolute truth, dharma, religion, varmani, protector, svam, own, kashtam, abode, adhuna, nowadays, upete, having gone, dharmaha, religion, come, unto whom, sharanam, shelter, gataha, gone. This is the last verse of chapter 1, and it's the last of the 6 questions asked in chapter 1. So we're going to review the 6 questions asked by the sages. The basis of Srimad Bhagavatam is these 6 questions, so they're important, and they're answered in chapters 2 and 3. Translation, since Sri Krishna, the absolute truth, the master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us, to whom the religious principles have now gone for shelter. Krishna left. With him he was the shelter of the religious principles. Now he's gone. We're going to see in a moment the language of the answer. It says specifically that knowledge, religion, etc. has gone with him. So what's the shelter for the religious principles now? Purport, essentially, religion is the prescribed code, the prescribed codes enunciated by the personality of Godhead himself, meaning codes of conduct, proper behavior, achar, sadachar, duties for mankind. Whenever there is gross misuse or neglect of the principles of religion, the Supreme Lord appears himself to restore religious principles. That is stated in Bhagavad Gita. It's also stated by Bhagavad Gita. Here, the sages of Naimisharanya are inquiring about these principles. principles of religion, principles of proper conduct. So when Krishna was present, people sat straight. They were in good behavior. Now, in the absence of Krishna, where is that good behavior? What's going to induce people to do that? What's the light and the inspiration for people to do that? The reply to this question is given later, but we'll tell you what it is. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental sound representation of the personality of Godhead, and thus it is the full representation of transcendental knowledge and religious principles. So there it is. So we'll go, cover this verse and go, this morning we'll discuss what are the five questions. And essentially, what are the five answers? So here's the sixth question. Question is clear. Krishna is gone. And when he was present, he was the shelter of religious principles. Now he's gone. What's the shelter of religious principles? Good question. And that's their concern is the age of Kali has begun. That's why they were in the forest performing this yajna is they wanted to counteract the influence of the age of Kali. So the question is, now that the age of Kali is upon us, Krishna's gone, look out. What's the shelter for those who want to achieve self-realization? And to achieve self-realization, to abide by codes of religious conduct. So the answer is Srimad Bhagavatam. The verses, text 43 of chapter 3. Krishne svadharmo pagate dharma gyanadivisaha kalo nashtadrisham esha puranarko duno ditaha. So, just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, Krishna svadhama upagate, same as the upagate, upete, same root, adunopete, Krishna has gone to his own abode, svadhama. With him, saha, along with him, dharma, jnana, etc. All things of goodness, they're gone, because they're manifest by Krishna's presence and Krishna is gone. So, just after Krishna disappeared, where in this age of Kali, nashta drisham, the vision of people in general is destroyed, meaning seeing things properly, seeing in knowledge. So the reverse is seeing what is not to be done is what is to be done. What is to be done is not to be done. Knowledge and ignorance, or it's a contradiction, knowledge and ignorance, but people have conviction in what is not to be done is what is to be done. Modes of nature, the influence of the mode of ignorance in the age of Kali. So victims of that darkness are relieved by the light. Purana Arka, the Purana that gives light. As brilliant as the sun, dhunoditaha, just as brilliant as the sun. So when Prabhupada has explained this verse, he's described when you, at sunset, so the sun sets in the west, it rises in the morning in the east, and then it's brilliant, and then the day fades, and then the sun sets in a darkness. So shortly after the sun sets, the sun of Krishna sets, the moon of Srimad Bhagavatam appears. It's nice poetic imagery. The sun sets and the moon rises on the eastern horizon again. And normally the light of the moon, just being reflection of the light of the sun, is much less. But when the Srimad Bhagavatam appears, it's as brilliant as the sun. And then Prabhupada comments, but without the scorching heat. Because the sun, direct rays of the sun, can be very, very hot and burning. But the rays of the moon are very cool and soothing. So as brilliant as the sun, but as soothing and cooling as the moon. That is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it appeared just after Krishna's departure. Sun set in the west, moon rose in the east. Providing that same function that Krishna provided, the giving shelter to religious principles, knowledge, and the etc. means all other things of goodness. And because both Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam are non-different, the Bhagavatam being the literary incarnation of the Lord, and Krishna being the Lord himself, their Shuddha Sattva, and so when we speak of goodness, we should understand it means goodness that's unmixed. Shuddha Sattva, unmixed with any tinge of passion, any tinge of ignorance. That's the nature of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the last of the six questions, and then we jumped ahead. So the structure is, the composition of Srimad Bhagavatam is that the first chapter of the first canto does basically two things. It describes the qualifications of the speaker and the qualifications of the audience for Srimad Bhagavatam to be effective. You have to have a proper speaker, you have to have a proper audience. So the sages glorify Sutta. Sutta expresses his appreciation of the sages. So what are the qualifications in order for transcendental knowledge to be passed on properly? And the second part of chapter one is the questions, the essential questions that make up the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in one sense. It's like an introduction to the topic of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. Here's the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, but it's in the form of questions. So it's very attractive and appealing. And then chapters 2 and 3 are the answers to those questions. And embedded within the answers to those questions, it includes Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. It includes knowledge of the relationship of all things to the Supreme Lord. It includes understanding of the process of acting in that relationship, and it describes the conclusion. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the sixth question. What is the means? What's the shelter? Ashraya. In the list of the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, that's one of the topics, ashraya, the shelter of all living entities and the shelter of our loving relationships. Ultimately, Krishna is that shelter in all loving relationships. Otherwise, they're not loving relationships. They're material, what's in it for me, relationships, a business relationship, mercantile relationship. A loving relationship is where Krishna is at the center. He's the shelter. Others are taking shelter of him, and thereby they have relationships with one another. of different descriptions. So the first question, now we're going to go through the six questions. The first question is, what is the Shreya Uttama? What is the all-around good, ultimate good, all living entities? What is that? And the second question is, what's the essence of the scripture? They're very closely related. In fact, the answer, now what I'm referring to here is, as far as the questions and answers, this is commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami. So, Bhurijan Prabhu is, when he does his Bhakti Vaibhav study, he's going to present this. He just shared it with me, so I'm sharing it with you. This is what our acharyas are saying. The ultimate good, the principles of religion, what's the essence of all the scripture? The way that they ask the question is they say, in this age of Kali, all good qualities are destroyed, and people don't have the temperament to go through all the scriptures. They don't have the capacity to understand. They're very lazy, they're misguided, they're unfortunate. So who's going to go through all the Vedas and get the essence? So could you do this one thing? Could you just state concisely what's the essence? Like, you know, neat little one sentence thing. What's the essence? And so that essence is supplied. It's in second chapter, texts 6 and 7. The essence is devotional service as the means to realize one's eternal relationship with Krishna. That's the essence. And it's also the all-around good. But the question is presented separately and expanded upon in the later verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, but that's one of the essence questions. Then another question is, why did Krishna appear? For what reason did Krishna come as the son of Devaki? So that's a third question. He came to bring deliverance to those who are situated in goodness, is the answer. To deliver from the material existence altogether those who are situated in goodness. Of course, he helps to bring people to goodness by his presence and then deliver them. And the two other questions are, one is related, they're both about forms of the Lord as they descend. One of the questions is about expansions of the Supreme Lord, Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. How do they act for the purpose of creation? And that's discussed in the second chapter, verses 30 through 33, four verses. It comes after the answer to the question, which is the fifth question. Can you please describe the forms of the Lord as they appear in this world, the incarnations, the Lila avatars and so forth. And so separate is the Purusha avatars. But the Purusha avatars, their function is creation. The Purusha avatars do not exist in the spiritual realm in that four-armed form. They do exist for the purpose of creation. And they're eternally manifested forms because the energy of the Lord is also eternal, and the process of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, it's going on perpetually. But In other words, that spirit souls that are in the spiritual world, there's not Paramatma within the heart because there's Paramatma before them, or the Supreme Lord is before them. And because those living entities desire to ignore the Supreme Lord, he hides himself within their heart. So he's their eternal companion. And in the spiritual world, there's not the Lord in the heart, there's the Lord before them. Like that. So, it's a short chapter, just 23 verses, and the essential questions that make up the whole context of Srimad Bhagavatam have just been presented. And then chapters 2, Jiva Goswami explains that 4 of the 6 questions are answered in chapter 2, and the remaining two questions are answered in chapter 3. In chapter 3 gives a list of the avatars of the Lord. And then at the end of chapter 3, the verse that we just reviewed, that Buddhist principles are given shelter by this Srimad Bhagavatam after Krishna's departure. So Srimad Bhagavatam is, because that is its function, it's very important for us. Srila Prabhupada has very kindly made it available to us, but it's very important for us to bask in the light of Srimad Bhagavatam so that the darkness of ignorance of this age of Kali is dissipated. And if we stray, or just as Prabhupada said, we even neglect the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're in darkness. Because it's the age of Kali all around us. You have to keep the light on. Or it's darkness. It's just nature. It's nighttime. It's wintertime. It's the, of the 4 yugas, it's the most difficult time. And so, this is our very, very important and prominent shelter, Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's regular recitation, and our participation in its regular recitation is very, very important. Of course, Prabhupada very responsibly and correctly explains that Bhagavad Gita performs that function also. Or it's the entrance into Srimad Bhagavatam. The principles explained in Bhagavad Gita assist in understanding Srimad Bhagavatam properly. They're good companion literatures, in other words. And so, he's established that we study Srimad Bhagavatam in the morning, in our temples, and Bhagavad Gita in the evening. And I hope we have some enthusiastic effort here for encouraging people to receive Bhagavad Gita during Gita Jayanti and give it to others, make arrangements for that to happen. Hare Krishna. Any discussion?
Spell a little on the quality of listener for our benefit. Yes.
Well, a little bit, sure. It starts with their respect. They, when they approach Sutta Goswami to speak, their respect is an opening of the heart. And that means that one is ready to receive the oral messages so they can deeply enter the heart. Another qualification of a good listener is They're searching for, just as the sages are asking, the ultimate good. Jigyasu Shreya Uttama. They're not just looking, you know, how to take care of a problem. I got a parking ticket, Maharaj, what should I do? I got this problem, what should I do? Can you bless my son so he'll pass his exam, so he'll get into the school, and so he'll get a good certificate, so he'll get a good job, and he'll take care of me in my old age? Mm-hmm. Can you bless my son? That's not Shreya Uttama. So a good listener is one who understands beyond all this temporary stuff, there's some ultimate good that needs to be reckoned. I want to understand what that is and how to approach. So it doesn't mean temporary things are useless or just Maya if they're absent connection with Krishna. It's just Maya. But how can I approach this situation in such a way it can help me connect with Krishna? Then it's inquiring into the absolute good. So when that absolute good searching consciousness is there, makes a good listener. Another third qualification of a good listener is they have a little bit of discrimination about who's a good source to go and inquire from. And another qualification is that a good listener is one who's ready to apply what they've heard once they've understood it properly. Just shooting the breeze it's not a good listener without application. Then another qualification of a good listener is they continue to inquire until the subject matter is clearly understood. So asking questions after hearing for clarification, that's a sign of a good listener. Another sign of a good listener is that they want to share that with others after they've heard it, because there's this wow experience. And so they're not misers, they're liberal. They're not kripana, they're brahmana. They like to give that which they've received and share with others. Not in a dogmatic and, you know, berating way, but in a very kind and compassionate way. It's just a natural flow of being a good listener. Another sign of a good listener is they walk their talk. They live their life by that which they speak, based upon that which they heard. But I go back to the first one. It all starts with respect. I may not even know how to inquire about ultimate good or anything like that. One can learn those things if there's proper respect. And, you know, our Western ways of doing things is minus respect. The whole education system, family system, it's just, you know, the fabric of respect is noticeably absent, especially for persons and cultures where respect, at least to some degree, is still remaining. Come to America and it's shocking. And we're just used to it. No respect. Culture of no respect. The culture of no culture. Life isn't respected. Mother isn't respected. The cow isn't respected. The land isn't respected. It's just exploit. Stay within the laws. As long as people don't catch you, you can go outside the laws sometime and exploit. Exploit people, exploit resources, exploit. And respect doesn't permit that. Just it checks that tendency, and rather one is looking in a humble mood towards things that have value. Or persons that are displaying character. So one of the things that helps bring disrespect or the absence of respect is the absence of character. Just the whole process breeds more of the same process. Like the verse that we discussed the other day, that a thoughtful person can understand that deliberately the education system is a slaughterhouse arrangement. And the products of such a education system are people that don't have any character. They may know how to do things, lickety-split, get rewarded handsomely for doing so, and they have absolutely no character. A little nicety, cosmetic, but it's just like a perfume to cover the stench that's underneath. It's, you know, it's just... So, respect is just an essential part, fabric of any kind of relationship, and certainly the relationship of a student to a teacher. And then the others follow from it. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.